The Committee on Public Integrity and Elections will come to order. Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez.
Here.
Representative Smith.
Here.
Representative Thompson.
Here.
Representative Bartleman.
Here.
Brannon.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Clemens.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
Graul.
Here.
Ingolia.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Coster.
Here.
Lamarca.
Here.
Roach.
Present.
Silvers.
Here.
Stevenson. Tant.
Here.
Valdez.
Present.
Quorum is present, sir.
Thank you, Sanjay. Members, please remember to silence your cell phones or put them on vibration. Today, we're going to discuss the draft definitions to implement the constitutional lobbying prohibitions. Today's going to be a workshop intended to inform and gather input on the ultimate draft legislation from you all, from the members. Your meeting packet includes a copy of Article 2 and Article 5, lobbying prohibitions that are effective on December 31st, 2022. The constitutional terms we're discussing today are underlined in that packet. Behind the third tab in the packet are the proposed definitions, including a table showing page numbers for definitions and the source materials used by staff in assisting us in drafting the definitions. If you're using your laptops and the PDF version of the document, you can use the PDF bookmarks to jump from definition to definition or to source materials, which should be fairly simple. I've divided the definitions among five of our members for explanation. I want you to hold your questions until after the explanation. Each definition we'll discuss together and we'll accept public input as well. We'll start with Representative Byrd. Representative Byrd will explain the definitions of lobby and three supplemental definitions. One, legislative action. Two, administrative action. And three, governmental entity, included for clarity and efficiency. Representative Byrd, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lobby means influence or attempt to influence an action or decision through oral, written, or electronic communication. With respect to one, a state governmental body or agency, the definition is limited to influencing decisions other than administrative action vested in or delegated to the state governmental body or delegated to an officer thereof. Two, the legislature or a state government body vested with legislative power or power to propose revisions to the Constitution. The definition is limited to influencing a procurement decision by the body or any legislative action or non-action by either house of the legislature or any committee of or office thereof or by such state government body or any committee thereof. Three, a political subdivision. The definition is limited to influencing legislative action or other discretionary decisions other than an administrative action or the federal government. The definition includes influencing any decision of the legislative or executive branch of the government of the United States respecting which registration as a lobbyist is required. B, lobby does not mean providing or seeking to provide confidential information to be used for law enforcement purposes, appearing as a witness to provide information at the written request of the chair of a legislative body or committee, including a legislative delegation meeting, nor three, marketing of goods, services, a seller thereof, or an industry when not directed at a specific governmental entity's procurement decision. That is the definition of lobby. Supplemental definitions to include legislative action, which means introduction, sponsorship, testimony, debate, voting, or any other official action or any measure, resolution, amendment, nomination, appointment, or report of, or any matter that may be subject of action. Administrative action means any process or decision regulated by Chapter 120, or for state government bodies and political subdivisions not subject to Chapter 120, it means action or a decision on a license, permit, waiver of a regulation, development order or permit, development agreement, or any other administrative procedure or procedure governed by an existing law, ordinance, rule, or regulation, except on an issue of procurement. Lastly, governmental entity means a state government body or agency, the legislature, a political subdivision, or the federal government. Those are the proposed definitions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Byrd. Members, are there any questions pertaining to those specific definitions? Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and good afternoon, everyone. Representative Byrd, can you give an example of
B3? 3.
Which would be marketing of goods, services, a seller thereof, or an industry when not directed at a specific government entity's procurement decision.
Yeah, I'm going to hand that over to Mr. Rubottom.
Mr. Rubottom.
What we had in mind there was if somebody's in a sales role for some vendor, like they could do TV ads, you know, buy our copy machines, as long as they're not talking straight to the county commissioner, city council, or the other agency, just a general marketing of products if they're not directed to a procurement.
Would follow up?
Representative Valdez.
Thank you. Couldn't that potentially put an individual in risk if they're just marketing and the state happens to procure that item or, and it's not directly with that individual?
Yeah, not if that marketing effort is directed at the general marketplace. For instance, a former legislator could become a spokesman for some products that are sold at they're working for the manufacturer. They're promoting the product on TV. But one of our AAs goes on the Home Depot site and buys that product from the Home Depot site. That's technically a procurement when they buy that, and it's a procurement when that goes on the state contract. But that marketing was not directed at that procurement. So there's no risk there. If somebody's in that kind of a marketing business, they would probably need to take care that they don't participate in any particular bidding or offer direct offers to government entities. But the purpose is to just insulate general sales jobs from saying, oh, well, some government's going to buy that, and so you're lobbying a procurement. It's just to insulate what's truly regular marketplace activity.
So, may I?
Of course. You recognize.
So I'll give you an example. Last session or the session before, we had a specific bill on the floor of which I was a supporter of, which was for the lanyards for the school shootings and being able to press a button and you hit the alerts, right? I'm concerned that something to that effect, that although that particular lanyard can be used for many other different professions out there, there's a safety measure, but I can see potentially a legislator that might wind up working for a company like that or that can use those services, that then they could potentially be in risk of violating these rules. So I need to have a different level of comfort to be able to move forward with, because there's so many opportunities, regardless whether you're a legislator or not, and you could potentially fall into a violation without even realizing that you're in a violation.
Representative, I think it's a very good point. As a matter of the logic of the bill, the language is in there to provide a clear exception. Without the language, your concern is still there. Is this lobbying or is this not? And I think the protection for individuals is always that when you have something like this that we expect to be enforced by the Ethics Commission, the individual can go to the Ethics Commission for a formal opinion and find out before they undertake that job. And very, very many former government officers do that every year and seek a formal opinion. Will this activity exclude? What I really had in mind when I offered this one, and if the committee doesn't like it, it certainly doesn't need to be in the bill. Let's say that a former governor becomes a spokesman for Florida Citrus in a marketing world. Okay, that would be perfectly okay, even though some schools or even though some state agencies, her lobbying restriction would be state agencies, even though some state agencies buy orange juice, an ex-governor could still be the spokesman, you know, the Anita Bryant marketing job on orange juice, okay? So it's to separate true marketing activities. We do have, you remember Governor Crist, he was the marketing face for Morgan & Morgan, Okay. The fact that a government agency might purchase services for Morgan & Morgan wouldn't exclude Governor Crist from being that marketing face for Morgan & Morgan after he left office.
Well, I'm just proceeding with caution on this, Mr. Chair, because I could see sure. where it could be to the interpretation of someone else, and I don't think it's clearly defined. So I'm concerned with this moving forward, but I understand the gist of it. I just find that it could potentially backfire on someone, not really meaning for it to backfire.
Yeah, understood. Members, any other questions for Representative Byrd? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Chair Perez. And just for a little bit more clarity, if, for example, an individual markets a textbook and encourages the Department of Education to adopt a particular textbook, which is a governmental entity, would that individual then be in violation based on this definition?
Yeah, I want to hand that to Don.
Sir Rubato.
I think the answer to your question, to your hypothetical, is in the fact that it's directed at a textbook adoption decision. So that's directed at a procurement decision, or technically it's directed at a policy decision in that case, because the school boards procure the books, but the state, whatever state commission is doing textbook adoption, they're making a policy decision. So that would be directed at that policy decision, and that wouldn't be a marketing exception under what's drafted here. But I think you raise a point that it is unclear what's written, and we said not directed a specific procurement decision, we should probably include or policy decision.
Thank you.
Representative Koster.
Just as a brief follow-up to what you just said, Mr. Rubato, if we're going to add a policy decision, should you also add an appropriation to that so that marketing of goods or services not directed to a procurement, appropriation, or policy decision, since we're using all three of those everywhere else?
Representative Koster, I see where you're coming from. I think it's a fair point. It's something we can look into and potentially put into the definition, but I definitely see where you're coming from. That makes sense. Members, any other questions for Representative Byrd? Representative Engolia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Byrd, would the acquisition or the asking governmental entity for a permit fall under the scope of the definition of lobbying?
Yeah, I'm going to let Don take that.
Representative Byrd.
Don, answer that.
Yeah, that's specifically incorporated in the definition of administrative action. And so it's intended to exclude all of those kinds of decisions from the when you get to the definition of policy, you'll see how those fit together. But permits are specifically listed in definition of administrative action, and they're excluded from the definition of lobbying from the number three political subdivision, influencing legislative action or other discretionary actions other than administrative action. So a permit application is defined in these definitions as an administrative action, so that it's excluded from the definition of lobbying.
Follow up.
You're recognized.
Then what about a rezoning? Would that also fall under permit because you're applying through a permitting process for a rezoning?
All I can answer for you is that we've got specific items in here, like development orders and development agreements, but I think there is an area of zoning that would be pure policy, and we have not tried to go that far because we don't want the court to turn around and reject the definition because you went too far. So we've tried to focus on things that are case by case, not things that are community decisions, okay? So a single zoning change for a single piece of property would might be excluded under the case-by-case definition here. But if the county or city's taking up a total zoning map, that wouldn't be excluded as administrative. That'd be a policy. That'd be a policy action.
Follow up. Like a comprehensive plan change, a comp plan change would not be one of the exclusions. That would fall under policy.
I think it's possible that a specific, if there's a process set up to petition for a change that you need to get a specific development done, that might be a case-by-case matter. But if you're taking up the entire comp plan for readoption and you're changing the whole county's plan, that wouldn't be. You know, you're giving me a category, and I think these definitions are designed to deal with whether the decision is broadly applicable to many people or just applicable to one person. We're trying to carve out as many case-by-case incidents as we can without addressing countywide decisions. If you follow me.
Members, any other questions for Representative Byrd? Okay, is there any public input on the definitions that Representative Byrd presented? All right, seeing none, we will move on. Representative Tant will now explain the definitions of compensation and lobby for compensation. Representative Tant, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Compensation means a payment, distribution, loan, advance, reimbursement, deposit, salary, fee, retainer, or anything of value provided or owed to any recipient, directly or indirectly, from any source for lobbying activity. Lobbying for compensation is defined to mean employment and receipt of compensation for contracting for compensation for the purpose of lobbying or principal employment for governmental affairs by another person or governmental entity to lobby on behalf of that other person or governmental entity. The term principally employed for governmental affairs means that one of the principal or most significant responsibilities of the employee to the employer is overseeing the employer's various relationships with government or representing the employer in its contracts with government. Lobbying for compensation does not mean a public officer carrying out the duties of his or her public office, a public or private employee, including an officer of a private business, nonprofit entity, or governmental entity acting in the normal course of his or her duties, unless employed for the purpose of lobbying or principally employed for governmental affairs. It does also not mean advice or services to a governmental entity pursuant to contractual obligation to the governmental entity, representation of another on a legal claim cognizable in a court of law or other adjudicatory body or administrative proceeding, including pre-litigation officers, demand a negotiation but excluding a claim bill pending in the legislature, representation of another in any proceeding or complaint or other allegation leading to discipline or other punishment, nor representation of another with respect to a subpoena or other legal process.
Members, are there any questions for Representative Tant? Representative Koster.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Tant, I think when you were reading it, you said in paragraph A, you said contracts with government, but my notes say contacts, and I just am curious if it's a typo, if it should be contacts or contracts.
Contracts, I believe.
Contracts.
Okay.
Members, any other questions for Representative Tant? Representative Ingolia.
Thank you. This is probably for Don. So just to clarify here, lobbying for compensation. So my company pays me a salary. We are two separate entities, me and my company. If I then go, now regardless of the definition to carve out for applying for a permit, but I just, because the point I'm trying to get is the term principally employed for governmental affairs. So My company pays me a salary, even though I'm 100% owner of the company. We're technically two separate entities. If I then, as part of my normal routine course of business, apply for permits or talk to people within the county for rezoning applications, if that normal course of business is not the because I'm principally employed for governmental affairs, it would not fall under that definition. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir, and that's the current standard in both legislative and executive branch lobbying right now. The number two in the B is really designed as belt and suspenders. It's the mirror of the concept of principally employed. So if the firm hires you because of your influence and your primary duty is government affairs, you're lobbying. But if you're the CEO, for instance, right now, a CEO of a private company doesn't have to register to come to lobby y'all, because the CEO has got much broader responsibilities than government relations, even though they do a little bit of that. We have a different standard in state employees right now. Every state employee who advocates has to register as a lobbyist, but it's different for public employees. And number two, there for private, number two is designed as that belt and suspenders to say, if it's within the scope of your regular duty, but it's not your principal reason for employment, you can do it. And the idea is every entity has the right to petition the government. The fact that you're an ex-legislator or current legislator doesn't mean that you can't represent your own interests. Right. And this extends that concept to the officers and employees of private entities, so long as they're not hired for that purpose primarily.
Yeah, I think I get the idea of what we're trying to get at here is we don't want elected officials or appointed officials, people in government, unduly using their influence for monetary gain, and I think we all get that. So just to change the question so a little, just so I can fully understand, I'm the chief executive of my company. I get a salary from my company. I wholly own my company. But let's say another the builder or developer wanted to hire me to go interact with local governments for purposes of obtaining permits, pushing through permits, or getting rezoning. Under that definition, that would fall under the scope of this. Is that accurate? Because I'd be receiving compensation for the sole purpose of helping them out.
The way you described that is for the representation. And at the state level right now, you can't do that under the compensation for representation standard. And under the House rule right now, you can't do that with local governments. But yeah,
and that's just for clarification purposes, because right. I wouldn't help my competitors try to beat me. Just thank you. Yep.
Members, any other questions for Representative Tan? Representative Bartleman.
My only question has to do with, it's on page 5, Chair. Thank you very much. I was just wondering why a grant isn't a part of issuing of appropriation.
Yeah. Representative, we'll let Representative Koster answer that in just a little bit. We're about to get there. Nope, it's all right. Oh, it's all right. Members, any other questions for Representative Tan before we move on? All right, seeing none, we'll move on. Is there any public input regarding these specific definitions that Representative Tan just presented? All right, seeing none, we'll move over to Representative Koster, who will explain the issue of procurement, the issue of policy, and issue of appropriation. Representative Koster, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Issue of procurement means a proposal to purchase or acquire any property, interest in property, or services by a governmental entity. Issue of policy means a change in a law or ordinance or other decision, plan, or course of action designed to influence or determine the subsequent decisions or actions of any governmental entity, sell or otherwise divest public property, or regulate conduct. The term issue of policy does not include a decision or determination of any rights, duties, or obligations made on a case-by-case basis. Lastly, issue of appropriation means a legislative decision to expend or approve an expenditure of public funds, including decisions that are delegated to an administrator. The term does not mean awarding or denying a grant that is available to more than one applicant under clear standards of qualification and distribution previously established by law, ordinance, rule, or regulation.
Representative Bartleman, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. So my question is, why is the grant different than an appropriation? Because sometimes when you have bids, you may take the top three bidders. There are scenarios where, because I felt like you could still lobby for a grant, even though multiple people can apply. If they're only going to give the grant to one person, there's like a lobbying feature in that, just as in a procurement.
I assume it has something to do with because there's standards already for these grant programs, but if I'm missing something, I'll defer to Mr. Rubottom.
Mr. Rubottom.
Yeah, that was the reasoning. For instance, the legislature appropriates money to a grant program. The appropriation's done once the spending has been authorized. The difficulty with local government is you might have a city commission or city council that actually doing the appropriation and the grant award at the same time. There might be one decision. The money's in the treasury and it's not committed until the grant is awarded. But the thinking was that if there are clear standards and qualifications, that it's more like an administrative decision. You are right. This might be seen more like a procurement, and you might want to exclude this exception and just leave that under the appropriation. But the concern was for these grants where there might be a whole lot of basically everybody who's got this kind of storm sewer defect is entitled to the grant. And you wouldn't want to exclude one of these public officers from merely applying for the grant. Or helping somebody apply for the grant when it's going to be automatically awarded if they qualify. So, you know, it may be that we should do some thinking if there's another, a better exception that would work. I think that you're correct. There's many grants that might work like a procurement, but you also have the opportunity to recognize that the Constitution only said appropriation, policy, and procurement. And if the appropriation is made, there's some room for the legislature to exclude any further decision-making after the appropriation's made. So, as y'all think through it in the next couple of weeks, you might think it'd be better to use something like this at the state level only, but leave the local level decisions. Otherwise, the reason for the public conversation here is to get your temperature and see what kind of consensus you might have.
Follow-up, Representative Bartleman?
I guess I would just leave it up to everyone. I just know on a local level, like on a school board and a city commission level, sometimes it does mirror a procurement, but I don't. If it's not an issue for others, maybe I need to go back and speak to some of the grant offices in my local area to see how they do it, because that could be a lobbying. But if it's not, I don't see it's not going to be a big problem. I'm not a sword to die on for me. I just want to make sure.
Understood.
Thank you.
Members, any other questions for Representative Koster? All right, seeing none, is there any public input for the definitions presented by Representative Koster? Seeing none, we will move on to Representative Roach, who will explain executive director, secretary, and other agency head. Representative Roach, you are recognized.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll start with executive director, which is defined to mean the chief administrative employee or officer of a department head, of a department, excuse me, headed by a board or by the governor and cabinet. The next definition is secretary, which means the head of a department who is appointed by the governor. And the third definition is other agency head, which means the chief administrative employee or officer of a department not headed by an executive director or secretary. Those are the three definitions, Mr. Chairman.
Members, are there any questions for Representative Roach? And seeing none, is there any public input? Seeing none, we will move on to Representative Grawl. Representative Grawl will explain federal government, political subdivision, and state government body or agency. Representative Grawl, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Federal government. Federal government means the United States Congress, any federal executive branch department, office, agency, or instrumentality, corporate or otherwise, or any federal independent agency, including any unit thereof. Political subdivision means a county, municipality, school district, special district with ad valorem taxing authority, or any subsidiary or agency thereof. State government body or agency means any department, agency, commission, council, board, or instrumentality created by the state constitution or established by general law and any official or officer thereof. Agency includes, but is not limited to, state attorneys, public defenders, criminal conflict and regional counsel, capital collateral regional counsel.
Members, any questions for Representative Grawl? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, are our colleges and universities included due to the fact that they have their own governing bodies, boards of trustees, but would they be considered a political subdivision?
Representative Grawl, you are recognized.
I'm going to defer to Mr. Rubottom because I think I have a
different
answer.
Representative Thompson, over the past few years, in working with our education staff, it seems to be pretty clear that the universities and colleges are state agencies. So they're not political subdivisions, they're state agencies. And so we didn't want to add too many words. It's our understanding they're included as state agency. And these are the people you're not allowed to lobby. So that's, you know, the purpose is to make it broad, not try to list each one, but they are state agencies for all the other purpose. Whenever the question comes up on any of these policies, we consider them that. And we'll continue to ask that question. If we find other information we need more clarification, we could include them.
Thank you.
Members, any other questions for Representative Grawl? All right, seeing none, is there any public input? Seeing none, members, I wanted to once again thank you guys for the time that you've put into reading these definitions and having an open discussion. This is obviously a part of the process, but not the end of the process. If there's additional thoughts or comments that you have, please bring them to either my attention or anyone on the staff or Vice Chair Smith. We obviously want to work through this and get these definitions in a place to where everyone feels comfortable that the intent was properly worded. So let's not forget that and the duties that we have to do so. So members, that being said, and upon the motion of Representative Koster, without objection, the meeting stands adjourned.